Let's read Psalm 100 as our call to worship. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Lord, I want to thank you for this day of worship. Lord, I pray that you will speak to our minds and speak to our hearts as we worship you today. Amen. I would like all of us to just kind of look around a little bit and see who's here today. And then as you do that, put yourself in somebody else's place, would you? Everybody here has a story. You know, as I go around during greeting time and I just get a brief glimpse of what your day was like or your yesterday was like or your week was like, everybody is going through life and we're all on a slightly different track, but we're all going the same way. Keith is sick, Ross is calving, Paul stayed at the farm last night, getting up every couple hours, Lisa's tired because she worked hard all day, Jordan's calving, Kathy's been ill, Jonathan's on call, and the list is endless. We've been talking in the diaconate leadership group that we need to pray if you see someone that just needs prayer, no specific reason, to come up and pray for you. So just look around a little bit and just kind of, I am so thankful for you for coming here and being a part of worship today. Our message today is the gift. What's the gift? What gift are we talking about? Do you think? Huh? Salvation? Jesus? Eternal life? Let's read the text. If you have your Bibles, Romans 6. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard Bible, NASB. For when you were slaves of sin, you were freed in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. And then the very, very familiar verse, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I have three very, very short stories that I want to read to you, not even stories, just some of them just explanations, but George Burns, how many of you know George Burns? And how many of you would ever think that you would hear his name in church? I just have a quote from him, and it really fits in well what we're going to talk about today. He says, it's easier to make a paying audience laugh. It's easier to make a paying audience laugh. They get dressed, they put on a tie, they get in their cars, and they pay so much that they like your act. And then he goes on to say, and the audience that doesn't pay is very critical. Isn't that true? If you don't pay for it, it's really not worth anything. Well, I got another story. It's the next two are from people that I know. We had some friends back in the early 80s that had a female cat. Yeah. And most of the time they had kittens. The problem was they couldn't get rid of them. Someone suggested at one time that they sell them. What do you suppose their response was? I can't even give them away. How am I supposed to sell them? But as soon as they put a price tag on them, they were able to sell them. Interesting concept. And I can't remember this next explanation. I can't remember where they were from, but it was from Minneapolis area. It's people I knew. They had a couch that they needed to throw away. And someone says, well, instead of throwing it away, why don't you put it on the corner of your curb by the road, put a $10 price tag on it, and leave for the weekend. So they did. Sunday afternoon when they got home, it was gone. If it's not worth anything, why would anybody want to take it? Our message today is called The Gift. And it's a free gift, but this gift comes to us at great cost. Comes to us at a great cost. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the message that you've given us today. And as we finish chapter 6 today in Romans, Lord, I pray that you'll teach us to appreciate your gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope you have your Bibles open today, and we're going to read the last part of chapter 9, verse 19 that we talked about last week. The very last part, it says, so now present your members, and it's talking about every part of us, the members of our body. Remember the little song, oh, be careful, little eyes, which is, okay. Every part of us. Now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification, being obedient to his word, living in faith. And in verse 20, moving right down. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What slaves mean again? Something or somebody that you're obedient to. And so you're in bondage to your master. If you are a slave to sin, you are in bondage to Satan. And you present yourself to him. The word present is more of an introduction here. Introducing yourself to somebody or giving over. If you present yourself to the president, you're introducing yourself to the president. Or a new boss. You step in, here I am. Best thing since sliced bread, right? Or a future father-in-law. Man, how many of you asked your future father-in-law for your love's hand in marriage? How many? I see a couple, okay. Was that an exciting thing to do? No, it wasn't, was it? But you presented yourself to him as the man that was going to take his daughter away from him. Present. So verse 19 we looked at last week, and it says, if we present ourselves to righteousness, the result is sanctification, living and being set apart for a special purpose. The Bible says that we need to make a decision and that we can't live with sin and righteousness. We need to make a decision. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is talking about God and wealth. I'm talking about sin and righteousness. You must make a decision. Which one are you going to obey? Are you going to enslave yourself to sin or Satan? Or are you going to enslave yourself to God and be obedient to righteousness? So if you serve sin, verse 20 says, if you serve sin, you are free of righteousness. You are free. You don't have any use for godly things. You don't have to worry about godly things anymore. You are free from that. But if you serve righteousness, then you are free from sin. Not both. It's only one or the other. Verse 21, Romans 6:21. Therefore, what benefit are you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. What's the result of sin? Death. We know that. It's coming up. Verse 23. The result of sin is death. And so now that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are ashamed of things you used to do and the way you used to be. And so the fruit or the result of sin is death. We say all the time, and we know in our heads, that the result of sin is death. But I am a little afraid that we don't know what that really means here in America. I mean, what does it mean to experience separation from God forever? We know it up here, but I'm afraid that we don't understand it down here. In the frontier days, death was a part of life as much as life was a part of life. And they knew what death meant, and they moved on. But as we experience death and separation from God forever, that's quite a different story. I've heard so many people say that once you become a Christian, then you won't sin anymore. And we all know that that's not true. The only difference between someone who is a believer in Jesus Christ and someone who is not a believer in Jesus Christ is that we are redeemed. Do you know what that means? Your sins were taken away, justified, just as if you've never sinned. But the question today is, are you living a justified life? Are you living for Jesus? Are you putting your sins off to the side? Are you living in sin, or are you living in justification or righteousness? Romans 6:22, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what Paul is saying here? But now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God. Are you enslaving yourself to God? Which means that you won't be living in sin anymore. You derive your benefit resulting in justification, which is living a holy life. And the outcome is eternal life. Eternal life. Isaac Newton's third law. Now, I'm not a scientist. Not even close to a scientist. But listen to what he says. To every action, there is always opposed and equal reaction. I kind of make sense with that. Like I say, I'm not a scientist, but it makes sense. To every action, there is an opposed or equal reaction. And I picked up an explanation of that, and it's not original, but I'm going to read it here. Consider the flying motion of birds. A bird flies by the use of its wings. The wings of a bird push air downwards, and since forces result from mutual interactions, the air must also be pushing the bird upwards. The size of the force on the air equals the size of the force on the bird. The direction of the force in the air downwards is opposite the direction of the force of the bird upwards, if you can pay attention to that. For every action, there is an equal in size and opposite in direction a reaction. So we have the action and reaction forced pairs making possible for the birds to fly. So we have an action and a reaction. They're both equal and opposite. So if you are no longer a slave to sin, listen to this very carefully. If you are no longer a slave to sin, you will have a reaction. And it's not going to be hives. If you are a slave to God, you will not sin. It will be a benefit of yours, and it's called righteousness. You are living a righteous life. And righteousness produces sanctification, and sanctified life leads to eternal life, everlasting life. Look at Hebrews 1:3. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. Listen to the last part. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. When he had made purification, when did he do that? When he hung on the cross. And we're coming really close to Good Friday. We're coming really close to Good Friday. And it was during that time that he hung on the cross that he made the purification for our sins. The Lamb of God died in our stead. And then he sat at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's the best kind of reaction. That's the best kind of reaction. Let's look at verses 22 and 23, Romans 6, 22 and 23. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, and the outcome is eternal life. Because of all of that, we go into verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is the gift free? Is the gift free? The Bible says that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And Romans 6, 23 says, and the free gift is eternal life. But that free gift costs something. The life of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. So when we celebrate the table here, we celebrate the table so that we remember what Jesus did for us, don't we? And I want you to remember today what Jesus did. Yes, we have a free gift. It doesn't cost us anything. Free gift of eternal life. So if we put verses 22 and 23 together, it gives us a clear story of what reaction we ought to be looking for. And that reaction gives us a purpose and a direction for our life, which is to live a righteous life, one that's free from sin, so that we can be sanctified, living a holy life, separate from the rest of the world, which gives eternal life. So if I were to put Newton's two laws here today, in closing, I would probably phrase it something like this. Because of sin, death is the result or the reaction, a permanent separation forever. Two opposing forces. Or because of righteousness, and the result or the reaction is eternal life. Through faith in Jesus Christ, and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen. And just as you looked around earlier to see who is here and to put your life in their life, experience Jesus today. And then tell them something even greater. Tell them thank you for dying on a cross, so that you can live eternally. Hebrews 4:16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Have a good week.